Amen. As Pastor Bill said, aren't you honored to have such a great worship teams around here? Glory to God. They do such a wonderful job, all of them. And we just thank God for each and every one of them. Thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. All of you watching, glory to God. Well, if you got your Bible, we're going to stay in Mark chapter 4 tonight and just speak briefly on, of course, you got to be careful when a preacher says just briefly, but I promise. But, we've had such a great week, haven't we? And how many of you were able to attend at least one of the meetings, or you saw it online? I mean, you were able to. We have such an awesome time at our different meetings, and the Word of God goes forth so powerfully, and we thank God for each and every speaker and each and every singer and everything that happened. But I want to talk tonight about how to keep that, because we have an enemy that doesn't want you to have that. And so, there for a while, I don't know if it was on purpose or what, but it seemed like the Sunday night service after Winter Bible Seminar and the Sunday night service after camp meeting, I ended up preaching. And so I know I've preached this message before, because this always comes to my mind. I learned this years and years ago, what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 4. So I'm going to start in the King James Bible. We'll start in verse 13. He's already told this parable about the sower, but he says this. He said to them, "Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" So in other words, this is key. This is a key to understanding what Jesus is teaching. Now, we know, just kind of to preview, he's going to talk about the seed time and harvest principles, which according to God and what he told Noah in Genesis chapter 8, that last verse of the chapter, I believe it's either verse 22, 23, I think it's 22, but that seed time and harvest would last as long as the earth is here. All right? As far as I can tell, the earth's still around. So seed time and harvest is a principle of God. It's part of God's kingdom. It's part of how God does things. Seed is sown and it produces a harvest. And so Jesus says here in verse 14, "The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately." Boy, underline that or mark that if you're taking notes. Do something about that. Satan comes immediately. All right? The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of his devices. We know that John wrote in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So here he comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, there's a few things that are common to every one of these different things that happen. Number one, the word is sown in every case. Number two, it is heard. The word of God was heard. In some cases, it was received. Other cases, it was just kind of left alone. See, once the seed is sown here, the soil is really our heart. Once the word of God goes forth, what happens to it? God intends for it to produce. Amen. He said, "My word will not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I've intended it to accomplish." When God's word goes forth, it has a purpose. Glory to God. That's why we need to be speaking the word of God out of our mouth, saying what the word says about our situation. How many times in the last, 2-3 years, have you heard Pastor Hagin or Craig or Denise Smith Hagin say, talk about what Brother Hagin said. What does the Word say about it? Why? Because the Word of God is the answer in every situation in life. Now, it may not come right directly and say, you know, you shall go to thus and so, but it does give us direction. It does tell us who to look to. I want to say this to you. If you're facing major decisions in life, do this. Start reading large amounts of the Word of God, especially the New Testament. Start just reading large amounts of the Word of God. Why? Because that same voice that speaks to you through the Word is going to lead you and guide you when you make that decision. And you need to be able to recognize that voice. You know, you don't, how many of you have certain people, you don't, once you hear their voice, you know exactly who it is. You don't have to have, well, used to be, now everybody has caller ID. I mean, I don't know, has anybody been in a house lately that still has a phone on the wall? I see some folks say, yeah, we still got one. Had numbers, you had to know the numbers, you know. Before that, it was letters and numbers. How many of you, be honest, how many of you tried to call BR549? Some of you have no idea what we're talking about. That's all right. Amen. Now let me read this from the Amplified Classic Version, verse 13. He said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all parables? So we want to get to know what he's saying here, all right? The sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those when they hear the word, at once receive it and accept it and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. Now notice, why does it come? Because of the what? The word, the seed. The seed. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to dig up a hedgerow or any type of plant that's a few years, you know, sometimes with some of these plants, there's more under the ground than there is on top of the ground. It's a whole lot easier to dig it up when it's a seed. Okay, and that's why Satan comes immediately. It says, on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, and resentful, and they stumble and fall away. Now, notice that. Notice that, you know, Satan is the author of offense. He wants to get us offended. There, just a couple chapters later in Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes to his own hometown and ministers, and he could there do no mighty works because they were offended at him. Offense will shut off the work of the Word of God in your life. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So if he could do no mighty work there, that tells me this. The Word can do no mighty work in the heart of the offended and in the life of the offended. Why do people become, what? How can you tell if you're offended? You get displeased easily. Amen. You know, you get indignant. I shouldn't say you. How about we? I don't want to act like I'm immune to these things. Resentful. You know, he's given us some symptoms here so that we can diagnose what's going on with us and take control of this situation. Well, I'm just waiting for God to do something about my offense. He's not going to do one thing about your offense. It's yours. You have to deal with it. Amen. You get resentful towards the church. Now you don't. You're here on Sunday night. I mean, you're wild people. Wild Christians full of faith. I know. But the devil, he wants to come at you just the same as he does everybody. But you come to Sunday night church after a week-long revival, you're crazy for God. Amen. I like you. You're my people. Hallelujah. I know that, Sam and Ann Graves, you know, Miss Ann worked here. She worked in the glass office for a long time. There is music, and then she worked over in the RMA office. And she was talking about, you know, her husband, where he's from, and his family. And she wasn't from there. Now, some places in the United States, if you're not from there, you're not from there. And you may not get accepted or not. There's just, you know, it's iffy. But she had some relatives from there. She said one time somebody introduced her, you know, as Sam's, I don't know if they were married yet or not, but it was, you know, early on there, said, now her people are from over such and such. Well, that made, when since her people, since she had people that were close to there, she was accepted. Mama, tell you, you're amongst your people tonight. Amen? Glory to God. Well, he goes on here to say, he said, notice what happens, that stumble and fall away. I'm telling you what, the devil would love nothing for you to have attended all 50 camp meetings and end up stumbling and fall away. Affliction, persecution arises. Trouble, he said, on account of the word's sake. The one sown, verse 18, the one sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world, distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, some of these things are immediate. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Some of these other things are more subtle, and they creep in over time. And you look at yourself 6 months from now, and thank God Winter Bible Seminar comes along, because you've about lost everything. Because you've allowed these things to happen. Or we, I should say, again, I won't point my finger at you. But Christians allow these things to happen. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Right? We're not ignorant of that. Let me read it in the New Living, then I want to talk about these things. The five tools the devil uses to steal the word. Once we know what they are, we can be on the guard, on guard for them, right? The New Living Translation here says, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots and don't last long, they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word, produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now let's look here at these five tools. First of all, he said affliction comes. According to Thayer's definition, and I like Thayer, he gives a little bit more information sometimes than Strong does, but Thayer's definition, he's a Greek scholar, says affliction here means oppressing or pressure, something that presses together. He said it means oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress. These things come because of the word. Now you think that if you heard the word on it, then that'd be the end of it, right? But no, the devil doesn't operate that way. He's not going to let you have a free pass. I know some folks thought when they became a Christian, all their troubles were over. Your eternal troubles are over. We have that, you know, we have students sign up. Some of you, if we could ask your story of coming to Rhema, we could probably get that are students. We could get your testimony. You signed up to come to Rhema, knew you were in the perfect will of God, and all hell broke loose on your life. I mean, everything that could break down, broke down. Every relationship that could go sour, went sour. Everybody said they could support you, went broke. I mean, everything that you thought, I mean, and it's the devil. It's just nothing but the devil. Amen. That's why our graduates around here, that's why our graduates go all over the world. They've already been to Broken Arrow. Come on, just by a show of hands, how many of you are actually from the Tulsa area? This is your home. Just show your hand. Not very many. So the rest of us came here, right? Amen. Some of you came and stayed here. Some of you, like me, you went away and told everybody you'd never go back, and here you are. Right? Amen. Glory to God. Affliction. Then the word persecution. Now this is an interesting word, because persecution, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, has the meaning to put to flight or to drive away with the idea of pursuing someone. Pursuing someone. This is Satan actively trying to drive you away from the word that you've heard. Okay? The winds. You know, seed, if it gets real windy, it could blow seed away that's just thrown on the ground. You know, used to be old time, they just thrown. I don't know. I know they don't show it today, but when I was growing up in elementary school, they showed us a movie of Johnny Appleseed, you know, this mythical character who went around and sowed apples. And it was, he had a bag of apple seeds and he's just throwing them on the ground. And immediately after he sowed it, threw it on the ground, these apple trees grew. I mean, it was like a miracle, but that was, you know, that was mythical. But it's like that, you know, the seed is sown and then the winds of life come your way. Jesus said that the storm, the winds blow, the storms come to everybody. Amen. To pursue you. Now, some folks, again, it's like they don't understand and they get upset. Well, I don't know why these things are happening. It just seems like these things are chasing after me. Exactly. The devil is chasing after you. But turn him around. Don't be like the guy that told Brother Hagin, I've had the devil on the run. Problem is, he's chasing me. No, put him on the run. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The word flee there means to run from in stark terror. Resist him. Stand up to him. But recognize, it's not a strange thing when affliction, this pressure, this tribulation, this oppression tries to come against you. It's not a strange thing when something's trying to drive you away and keep you away. Pastor Craig talked about it today. Keep you away from church. Trying to push you away. Push you away from relationships with godly people. Get you isolated. I saw a meme here just recently of what it looks like for those people to say they don't need church. It was a herd of wildebeest, a herd, and then one by itself. It might have been zebra, I don't know. They're all the same. And a lion chasing the one by itself. Amen. We were in Kenya this summer with a group from, most of them here from Rhema Church, and Brother Ron was there with us. And were you in the car that saw the lion? It came right there, that male lion that came. But we were down, and we had just been to this area, and you know, it was an area that they had restroom you could use in that area. And we came around the corner, and all of the animals that were there. We were in Nairobi National Park the last day we were there, or the day before, and we looked out there. And all the animals had their ears pointed and were looking in a certain direction. All of them. I mean, giraffe, gazelle, there was all kinds of animals there around this watering hole. And then we looked up the hill. Some of them had binoculars. As they looked up, they saw this male lion walking. All right? Everyone was on alert. They were all on alert. Okay? Because lions, they love to get one moved away from the herd. They can handle the one. Sometimes they'll even take on bigger animals like a water buffalo, which is an amazing thing. If you ever see a water buffalo, you realize how big they are. Gigantic. But they'll get them off by themselves and they'll try to take them on. The devil loves to isolate us. And one of the ways he does it is to persecute us and bring affliction our way. We've got to make the decision ahead of time. I will not be. You can try all you want, devil. You can pursue me. You can try to drive me away, but I am not going anywhere. Amen. All right, the next thing he says down there later, he lists three things. The cares of this world. Anxiety. Worry. Distraction. How many times are we told in the Bible not to worry? Over and over in the New Testament. Cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Cast it on him. Now, what we know about that, if I give it to God, I can't carry it also. All these worries, all these anxieties. Now, here's the thing. These things happen to everybody. There's not one person living that doesn't have the world to deal with. Or we could say the cares of life. It's not necessarily the world and bad. You know, it's just living life. We have things to take care of. And we need to pay attention to them, and we need to take care of them, but we're told not to worry about them, not to be anxious about them. You know, sometimes the cares of life control people. There's people because of worry that are paralyzed. Worry gives birth to fear. It probably is an outbreak of fear in some way. But just getting distracted by the world. Sometimes, if we're not careful, you can get distracted. You see this in athletics, and I know we're usually athletics a lot around here for examples, but a lot of us were involved. Now, you can't tell it by looking at me now, but I did play collegiate athletics. Amen. I'll quit saying that I'll never be in that because I'm working at getting back to that shape. But I have no delusions of going back and playing again. All right? I really don't want to. But played college basketball. Also played on our college golf team, which that was a hoot. Free golf is always great. I don't care what level it is. It could be putt-putt. If you play for free, it's great. All right? But a lot of folks get distracted. Amen. They get distracted. And those distracted folks are horrible teammates. Whether you realize or not, we're a team. We're in the body of Christ. And we need everybody focused on what God's called them to do and not get distracted by life. We can get distracted by the things of life if we're not careful. And let things that really are not as important. One of the things all of us have to learn how to do is prioritize, right? What's the most important thing? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the Word of God is the most important thing there is in life. And if we're not careful, all of us can get ourselves distracted. The next thing he says is deceitfulness of riches. Nothing wrong with riches, but he says they're pleasures, delights, false glamour, other translations say, from the Word of God. You know, some folks, they get to this place and they start looking and things, how many of you ever heard the term, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence or whatever? Can I tell you what? That grass over there has to be mowed just like the grass you got. Amen. Now, I thank God for the rain because our water table needs it, but I was kind of looking forward to not mowing again. But now it's growing again. I looked at my yard and I said, okay, we're going to get the mower out again. But that's all right. But the grass, you know, looking, getting distracted by deceitfulness of riches. Some folks, and I used to hear Brother Hagin say this, and I didn't understand what he was talking about. I understand it now. But he said, some people, you know, they'll get a job offer and they'll take the job offer because it pays them more money and looks more glamorous, but then they'll leave the good church they're part of, and they don't understand how come things start going wrong. They were part of a body of believers that knew how to pray and knew how to use their authority, knew how to overcome because Jesus has overcome. First thing I'm asking, if God, what church is there? What church going to be a part of? Not, you know, hey, what's my benefits? Now, I mean, I'm serious here to you because some folks, you know, but sometimes more pay is not worth it from what it costs you. Amen. There's example after example, testimony after testimony of folks in this room that could tell you that. How that God, you know, it always looks glamorous out there what somebody else is doing. Amen. Don't get deceived. Don't let riches. Don't love it. And the way you do that is never love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, money's not evil. Riches aren't evil, but the love of it is. Now, how do you not love money? Well, let me tell you this. First of all, whatever you love is your motivator. Whatever love is what compels you. If the love of Christ is your motivator, then you're going to be compelled by that. But if you love money, it's going to motivate you. At any given time, if you can't give it all away, you love it. I'm not talking about relationship. I'm going to give my wife away, glory. No, I'm not talking about that kind of foolishness. I'm talking about things here. Your wife is not a thing. And if you treat her like a thing, you're going to find out a thing. Or two. Or three or four. Or five. in the middle of the night. Amen. But I'm talking about things on this earth. Riches, deceitfulness of riches. I made a decision years ago, and I told all my family, if you give it to me, don't get upset if I give it away. Because I'm not going to let anything hold me. I can't afford it. I can't do what God's called me to do in life and ministry if I love money. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says, the lust of other things. Now, all of these things come in and choke the word. They're weeds. They're weeds. We used to have to go out in, there in central Illinois. My grandfather is a full-time farmer. Then my uncle and my dad took over, and we farmed 400 acres with my two cousins, the five of us. We farmed 400 acres on a part-time basis. So when we rolled in hard. But during the summer, my cousins and I would work out there on the farm. And one of the things we had to do is walk throughout the soybeans and cut the weeds out. And you get out there early in the morning because it gets hot. And for those of you that think that Tulsa is humid, no. No. Central Illinois is a lot more humid than Tulsa and Florida. And then don't even go to Louisiana if you don't like humidity. You know, it's take a shower and have to take another one immediately there. I mean, if you walk outdoors. But it's really humid. So you go out in the morning. Of course, the soybeans are sopping wet from the dew. And you just get covered. I mean, you got to wear pants because it cuts your legs up if you don't. And you come out of there. Your blue jeans are sopping wet by the time you make one pass. And you're covering several. But if you don't cut those weeds out, they'll choke off the seed that you've sown. And you've got to cut them out. And these are things, worry, we got to cut that out of our life. Love of money, we got to cut that out of our life. Now, you don't have to have money to love it. You know, there's a lot of people that are living in close quarters who loved money. And they're in where they are because they loved money. Amen. You don't have to have any of it to love it. It's a bad motivator. And then other things, cravings and passions. Pastor Craig mentioned this morning. Passions. What are you passionate about? You see, keep your passion on the Word of God, because that's the most important thing. Now, he doesn't change subjects here. So those five things, be aware of those. Be aware of those. Affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. Learn to recognize them and how to deal with them. You have authority over every one of those things. Just keep saying what the Word says. I heard one guy say, I'm about ready to stop preaching on healing, because every time I preach on healing, the whole congregation gets sick. What is that? Satan coming immediately to steal the Word. Amen. You know, we come through a week like this, and everybody gets tired. If you're not careful, you let the tiredness overcome you. Amen. But we're faith people, glory to God. There's no condemnation in anything, but let's speak the word. Well, he goes on here, pick up in verse 21, this is the King James Bible. He said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which should not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now earlier, what was being heard? The word. So again, he's still talking about hearing the word. If you have ears to hear, Hear what? Hear the word of God. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. That used to really bother me. I thought, God, that's not fair. He that has, to more will be given to him, and he that has not, that's going to be taken from him. I said, you know, this is anti-Robin Hood right here. You're robbing from the poor and giving it to the rich. That doesn't work. But that's not what he's talking about here. When you have an ear to hear, now to hear also carries with the idea of you hear it until you understand it. That's why faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing it again. Not having heard. Take heed what you hear. What you hear. Because what you hear and pay attention to will bring understanding. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart without diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You want to know, if you want to really look at things and say, look at your life right now and realize it's flowing out of what's issued in your heart. So if you need to make a change, the change needs to come from the inside. What are you sowing in there? He's still talking about this same thing, taking heed to what you hear. One way, the number one way to overcome all five of these things the devil comes is to take heed to what you hear. Take heed to it. Give it the importance that it deserves. In other words, when you hear the word, latch on to it. And keep hold of it till you understand it. Now, I don't have to understand it to believe it, but I found this out in dealing with people and dealing with myself. A lot of times, until I understand it, I'm against it. It's just a natural thing. What people don't understand, they're against. How many of you grew up in church, and because you didn't understand it, you were primarily against speaking in tongues? Or you might have been told tongues was wrong. There's a lot of people. But when you understood that it was of God and it was for you today, you went ahead and received it. See, it was your understanding that changed. Take heed what you hear. Jesus said, that's what he was talking about. He talked about people, he said, they see with their eyes, but they don't see. They hear with their ears, but they don't hear. And their understanding is darkened. He said, if any time they would see, if any time they would hear, if any time they would understand and be converted, I will heal them. So when I hear the word of God and it's planted in me, or even if it's just sown, I grab a hold of it. I recognize it quickly. I grab a hold of it and I start the process of hearing it. Not just because I heard it once, but I keep hearing it, hearing it, hearing it. How many of you wore out cassette tape players back in the day? I wore cassette players. I wore cassettes out. I've spliced. I don't know how many cassettes I've had to take out and splice. That cassette player ate it, and I took it out, and I learned how to splice it together. And you know, that was the greatest use for a pencil ever invented. Put that in there. You could wind that cassette player. I mean, just wore them plumb out. Amen? I've got a thumb drive in my USB port on this car I'm driving. I'm listening to Brother Hagin teach on the authority of the believer. I've heard it before. I've listened to this before, but listen to it over and over and over again. Every time I hear something I never heard before. He goes on to talk then about some other seed that is sown. He said, "When this is how the kingdom of God works. When the seed is sown, somehow it grows." We don't have to understand the growth process. We just have to take heed that when the seed is sown, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce the harvest. We go to sleep, rise night and day, and there's the harvest. All we have to learn how to do is know when to put the sickle in and get the harvest. My grandfather had farmed for so long, he could take it. He'd go out in the field. I'll be back. He'd walk out in that field, in the cornfield, and he'd come back with a couple of ears of corn. And then he'd take that corn and he'd come over there and he'd shuck it, take all the shucks, and then he'd start wringing that corn off of that corn cob, and he'd wring that off and he'd put it in his hand and he'd bounce it like this, okay? And then he'd take some of it and he'd put it in his mouth and he'd start chewing on it. He could tell what the moisture level on that corn was, because you can't take corn to the grain bin and sell it if it's got too much. They'll charge you to dry it out. It has to be within a certain amount of moisture. And we test him because we had our own tester. And he was always within not one, but point something of what it was. He had trained himself to, by touch and by taste, to be able to tell the moisture. And he would say, it's ready. We got to go pick this corn. We need to be that way. We need to know when that corn, when that seed is ready to harvest. Amen. And the way that we keep it, we don't worry. We don't let affliction or persecution, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in. We take hold and keep on to the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's more we could say about that. But I promise somebody I do a little bit less than an hour of power, and I got 35 seconds. I made it. Come on down here, prayer team. You know how it is. You folks, our first-time guests, if you need prayer for anything, you come on down. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, this is your night. This is your night. You're not here by accident tonight. You didn't come to this church by accident. We've been praying for you. We got prayer teams that pray all the time, round the clock here at Rhema. And one of the things we pray for is you. You didn't know it, but we've been praying for you. That tonight, if you came tonight, whatever you need from God, that need would be met. If you're here tonight and you have that need, just come on down here. Men, you come to the men. Ladies, to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. And we know you won't leave here like you came. Anybody else that needs prayer, you come on down also. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Wednesday night. Is it this Wednesday's act that the is gym night? Don't forget, Pastor Bill now says that. This Wednesday night is gym night over at the NRC. So youth, go straight there. And sixth graders, it's their first time over there. Hallelujah, to be with the youth. And they'll be taken care of well. I know that. We don't do things around here without a lot of supervision. So they'll be taken care of. So go ahead and take them on over there. And, of course, pick them up afterwards. After church is over. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday night.